I'm Will Zacharias, and you're listening to Eat for the Planet. On this show, we try to answer the question, how can we eat in a way that nourishes us without starving the planet? The show features conversations with food industry leaders, health and sustainability experts, as well as entrepreneurs and creative minds who are redefining the future of food. My guest on this episode is Julie Pyatt, the creator of Shreemu, a company that makes artisanally crafted cheeses from plant-based ingredients. In this episode, Julie takes us on a journey through the artistic, culinary, and spiritual influences that led to the creation of the brand Shreemu and its products. We also explore the bigger mission behind the company and why Julie is committed to building a food business with her original, and some would say somewhat unconventional approach. Julie is not your typical food entrepreneur with the predictable food tech disruption story. And that is precisely why her insights about building Shreemu are so fascinating. This is Julie's second appearance on the podcast. Her first visit was back in 2018 on episode number 50. I couldn't think of a better way to close out 2021 than to leave you with this impactful conversation. This is Julie Pyatt of Shreemu. Julie Pyatt, thank you so much for being back on the Eat for the Planet podcast.
Mills, thanks for inviting me. I'm so happy to see you. Really, really a joy. Thank you.
Well, I have to kick off this conversation with a bit of an apology. I think the last time you were on my podcast, I semi-jokingly tried to talk you out of launching a food company. and I'm so glad you didn't listen to me. And I was just doing that because I've learned enough about this space that it is only for a few very resilient, semi-crazy people to embark on a journey in this place. And so I only spoke from a place of my own struggles sometimes. But the reason I wanted to bring that up is because I tried your cheese recently, which is probably the second time I tried it. But I think the first time it was just not the right environment where I didn't pick up on what was really going on. It was maybe I was too busy. But this time it was actually gifted to me. Thank you, Kathleen, for Shreemu's cheese. It was a real good surprise. And I was just blown away. And I reached out to you the same day and said, you've got to come back. I need to talk about what you're doing you know, how it is that you've been building this company. So I'm excited to get into all of that today.
Well, thank you so much. I guess I fit those criteria of being crazy and resilient. I'm definitely in that group. And I never listen to anyone. So I just enjoy people's perspectives. But, you know, I make my own decisions. So no apology necessary at all.
Yeah. As being crazy myself in working in this space, you know, I just want to save the struggle. I used to say that to people who wanted to be lawyers as well, because I tried that for 2 years and hated it. But I still think food is way more interesting and impactful. So definitely don't be discouraged by anything I say. No. It's the biggest problem we need to solve, biggest challenge facing humanity. And there's so much joy in food. So I'm glad you're doing it.
Oh, definitely. Well, thank you. Well, I'm honored and very overjoyed that you enjoyed Shreemu and that you received the frequency of what she is. I call her the next evolution of cheese. And it's Shreemu Do Life, which is devotional offerings for life. The do means devotional offerings. So for me, it really is a mission of global awakening. I mean it with every cell of my being. And I put everything that I have into the formulations in really creating options for everyone. So at Shreemu, we have our arms open wide. It's universal. It's paleo, keto, gluten-free, dairy-free, plant-rich, plant-based, even raw. So everybody come on in. And I'm not asking you to give up your love of cheese, because we all love cheese. I just made it better. So it's better for our animals, for our body, and for the planet, and our children. So that's Shreemu.
So let's go back to the beginning. How did things kick off? Because I know you were working on this a few years back, at least the early seeds were being sown back then. But when did this officially launch, and how was that experience for you?
Yeah, so I mean, it came out of just a knowledge when I published my first cookbook. I had done a very basic cheese section in the Plant Power way. And just the deliciousness of it and the opportunity in it, I just saw a clear path. And so I turned in the book and then turned my focus to creating plant-based cheeses. And because I'm an artist and I'm a rebel, and I just like to sort of have the awe and wonder of a child and sort of enter into things with a naivete or, you know, just this sort of childlike opportunity or optimistic view. But I have to say that even I was completely shocked at what I was able to create through this vehicle of not cheese. So it's creamy, cheesy, full-bodied, rich, satisfying, and it's better than dairy cheese. It feels better in your body. It feels better in your digestive tract. But even though I had been making it for a couple years and serving it at events, I had seen hundreds of people devour a cheese board. And I just stand in the back and watch and smile. And I knew I had already really tested the flavors. So I knew way in advance, you know, I probably had maybe 500, 600 people taste it before I even, you know, even thought about starting a company. And then I thought long and hard because maybe, as you remember, I'm not sure if we talked about it, but I was a fashion designer and manufacturer. So I had a 100-piece women's collection from t-shirts to evening gowns. And the difficulty of manufacturing is not lost on me. So, you know, I really, really felt that pain and felt that struggle, you know, in that experience. And as I meditated on it, I really felt that the potential impact, the vehicle of global awakening that Shrimu embodied, outweighed any sort of aversion to having difficulty or being faced with these difficult challenges. And so I took my sweet time, and Rich kept asking me, like, when are you going to come out with it? Like, you got to get your shit together. And I was like, just hold, because I needed to do it as an artist. I just said, I'm a fashion designer. I'm an artist. And it was really important to me that I created Shrimu at the ultimate top of what I could offer. And then there was a vision for many sub brands and, you know, a mass operation, but I wanted to begin at the top. So I collaborated with a dear friend of mine, who's a fine artist, Brian O'Hara. And we worked on a logo and branding for about 8 months. And, you know, the braiding on Shrimu's branding, it's a black label, it's subscription, it's the luxury experience. The branding is actually devotional offering in reverse. Brian has read and written backwards his entire life, and he uses sacred words now to create sort of a modern hieroglyph. And so the branding is quite extraordinary. It's quite unique. And, you know, sort of to get to your point of that, in order to be in this business, you have to be, you know, crazy and resilient. I also felt a need to really create something very authentic to me. So I didn't go out and research what other food brands were doing. I didn't try to mimic or copy anything that existed. I tried to create something, or let me say, I made myself available and open to receive a way to create a product that was completely, entirely unique and extraordinary.
And it shows, I mean, down from the moment you open the packaging, and just the whole experience of it, and of course, down to the taste. On the taste, I do have one very important question. How did you get it to taste like brie? I vaguely remember what brie tastes like, and it's a very unique flavor. And I think it's the elder one that you have that has a
No,
brie.
That's birdie.
Birdie,
you're
right.
You're talking about birdsie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I told you, Neil, I'd have to kill you. So I'm not going to answer that question. Okay. Again, all the ingredients are pure. And what I would say with Shreemu is, you know, I've had, you know, I want to talk to you about all the investment meetings that I've had and my journey through that. But, you know, I get this question like, well, can somebody copy it? Is it patentable? You know, it's all those kind of conversations. But it's really not. And the reason is because at Shreemu, we are using the unseen energies. So the Devic realm, the nature spirits, the awareness that we exist in community with these other life forces that most of us never even pay attention to. And so at Shreemu, the people that make the cheese, we call them sacred makers. So rather than make somebody earn their position out over a 5-year period, I decided to give them the greatest title at the beginning so that they could embody that. So if you're a sacred maker, when you come into your shifted Shreemu, you go into a breathing practice for 10 minutes. You don't touch any food until you're present. We also have nature sounds in the facility, orange blossom being diffused. We care about the environment in which it's being prepared. And that's the thing that you felt that made you reach out to me that you can't really put your finger on. So I would say that, and we had this experience, actually, I created a flavor called Gold Alchemy. And if you look at the ingredients don't match the flavor experience. So the ingredients are, you know, basically my base formulation, cashew based, turmeric, pepper. But when you eat it, it tastes exactly like a ham, cheese, and mustard sandwich. And there is no, there's no logic to it. It clearly is magical. It's a magical experience when you open up to life with this really devotion and awareness of our connection to nature.
I remember the last time when we were talking about what you were going to embark on. I think the biggest questions I really had were, you know, you held this really big vision of what you wanted Shreemu to be. And I was basically trying to tell you about the challenges you're going to face as you will be presented with options on how to compromise on everything that you hold dear, because you had this like grand vision on how you're going to keep the product really unique and pure. And as little I know about the food industry is the moment you start trying to manufacture anything at any certain scale, it's all about compromise. And so how have you managed to overcome those hurdles? Maybe talk about that a little bit. And of course, I'm very curious to hear about how did investors react to this? Because, you know, everything you've been saying from the cheese itself to the way you wanted the team to function and the intention with which you're building the business, it sounds like something very different and new, and a lot of people are scared of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. Well, I mean, I could say also that, you know, I'm not just living in the clouds, so to speak. I took possession of the kitchen. We're almost 2 years old. I got possession of the kitchen and my permit on November 13th and shipped 2,400 units of cheese on December 11th successfully. So I know how to produce. I know how to create, you know, how to function at scale. And, you know, that was just the beginning. So what I did, Nils, is I was lacking. I hadn't really had the experience of having a product that has a trajectory of $100 million company and a transformation into a unicorn, like a $1 billion company. I never was working with anything in that realm. You know, I was doing fashion jackets with 36 pieces. It was not scalable what I was doing, but this is clearly scalable and clearly the best thing in the best thing out there. And I also have an entire collection of products just waiting right behind it. I've perfected over 50 not cheese recipes. I only have like 7 on the line right now. And there's many other sauces and foods and, you know, dressings and, you know, all kinds of things, pestos, all kinds of things behind it. And in addition, my fashion comes in and, you know, there's prototypes for beauty products, for textiles, for tablecloths, for even clothing, all of these things. So it really is a lifestyle brand, and Shreemu is the portal, but Not Cheese is the portal into it. So I started off, I knew everything proved out. The production's beautiful. My margins are extraordinary. We perfected everything down to the penny. I have amazing individuals on my team, really bonded people that I've met because of Rich and my presence in the space for 10 years. Everybody that works with me is a deep, deep relationship. It's not just somebody who applied and got the job. But what I did do is I was like, okay, I need to figure out this scaling thing in a financial way. And so before the pandemic, I started taking financial meetings, and I met with all different varieties of funds, you know, and many powerful people in the space that are working in plant-based food. And I kept having these meetings thinking, I'm going to find the formula. I'm going to find out how this works. And after 60 meetings and a year and 4 months, I discovered they just make it up. There isn't a formula. It is created by the story of your business. And being someone who I would say, okay, I'm an artist, I'm a healer, I'm a musician, you know, I'm a chef. And so I had this sort of projection, oh, well, I don't understand money, or I don't understand how that big money, how that big finance world works. And first of all, in 60 meetings, I saw four women in 60 meetings. Four women, and they weren't even front facing. That is not something that I want to continue participating in. It's just, it's this, listen, money is amazing and money transforms the world. And there's many beautiful humans that are ready to step into position and take the responsibility for holding that money, embodying that money, creating money, so that we can put the money in the things that uplift the world. You know, it always blows my mind that there are people that have billions of dollars and they are letting humanity starve. Like, how, like, Nils, if you had that money, I know what you would do with it. I mean, how many jets do you need? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love luxury things. Let's get what we want. But beyond that, why are these people not helping? Why are these entities not really serving humanity? So at the end of the month, or sorry, year and 4 months, I was offered $1.5 million for the next stage, which is not that much money in that realm, but it was $1.5 million. That was like a verification that I had created something that somebody wanted. And so I sat with it for a day, knowing that I was going to turn it down. So I turned it down.
Okay.
And I went to the crystal supply warehouse, and I bought some very beautiful mineral crystals, and I created an alchemical operation that is the financial strategy of Shreemu. If there was ever a time on the planet that we can create the world we want to, it is right now. And everyone listening to this, we all have a genius and we all can create in whatever manner we want to. We don't have to be in the old tracks of the old way. And as a matter of fact, entering into this new age, which is the age of Aquarius, which we are going through right now, which that is why the pandemic is happening. We are in a planetary transformation. We have to remember who we are. The universe is responding to the way you're ordering your life. How are you ordering your life? Well, I got caught in that sort of thought process that someone else knew better than me, that someone else, you know, would give me the answer. And I was walking through my house and I received this message very clearly. And the question was, why are you not applying the same level of spirituality, creativity, originality, and rebelliousness to the financial environment of your company as you did to the branding and the product? And I stopped kind of mid-stride to this imaginary voice. And I was like, that's a good question. like, what have I been doing for a year and 6 months or a year and 4 months? And so I decided 13 for me is a sacred number. It's a number of unity. It also represents a cosmic mother force and the way that this force moves through the planet. And I established my valuation at 13 million. And I created a guardian investor circle of people who want to be part of a humanitarian mission, which Shrimu is. It's 13 stones based on like a circle of stones like Stonehenge or Avebury or any of the spiritual stones that exist on the planet. And this is clearly an operation of humanitarian mission to change the planet, to uplift the planet in all its areas, in the plant kingdom, in the mineral kingdom, in the human kingdom, the animal kingdom. And so I just closed my first stone. I've taken investment of $253,000. I think it's $854,000 because I'm raising $3.3 million in this circle, in this first round, to private people, individuals that care, that want to put their money towards something that really is going to make a difference. So I have my first investor that I'm welcoming in. The wire is in transit just as we're speaking. And I have established my company at a $13 million valuation. That feels really good. So, you know, I'm really, really happy. This person is very aligned, a very beautiful heart, an amazing consciousness, and somebody who is greatly aligned. But what I need to tell you about now is the greater why of Shrimu, like why I get out of bed in the morning and why I want to do this and why I want to be in food and manufacturing. And I've already talked about the fact that it is a mission of global awakening. So in Shrimu's ethos, every box activates 13 people. Why 13 people? Because we know you're sharing cheese. Mm-hmm. And 13 is the number of unity. We've been told 13 is an unlucky number, but it's in fact the reverse, as everything we know we've been told in life is being revealed to us now. So, but the thing is, it's important to say is that I am aligned with a spiritual community in Italy called Domenher. I probably likely spoke to you about it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they are a community of individuals that built temples to humankind inside a mountain in secret over a 19-year period. They did it with buckets and shovels, and they worked 24-hour shifts for 19 years to create a love offering to the planet that honors all species and the diversity of life. Well, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time getting people to just, like, you know, entertain a new way of educating their kids. And I was blown away when I met this community and saw what they had done. They've been in existence for 47 years, and I'm very connected to them. There are thousands of people now all over the world that are friends of Domenher, and they have about 600 individuals that have devoted their life to this mission of uplifting the planet. So Shrimu is going to be produced in Domenher for the EU. There is a 30-year dairy cheese artisan who makes some of the most extraordinary dairy cheeses you've ever seen. He was blown away by Shrimu. They love Shrimu. And so I am in the process of setting up the European operation there. But the really important thing is that the temples to humankind, and I hope you'll include the link, you can take a virtual tour. I know I'm saying some crazy stuff right now, and you might be like, oh my God, did she just say that? But when you look at the link of what these people did, you're going to be deeply touched. I mean, it's literally extraordinary. So this temple is only 20% of the operation. There are future plans for an $88 million sort of museum that is going to house all the indigenous DNA of the planet. And this is very important to us as a species, because if you study soil or you know, the diversity of life is what makes life rich and well. So all this separation that's going on in the culture now, us and them, and what is this and that, it's all an agenda to separate us. We have to remember that love is the most powerful force that we have in our humanity. Mm-hmm. We are humane. We're humans. So Shrimu's big why of why I'm building a unicorn is to assist in funding this $88 million project. And one of the things that was really profound in the last month, my own father passed away maybe 5 years ago, and we were very different. He was an NRA member, and and I'm the yogi, right? So we had a lot of headbutting through the years, although he was a beautiful father, and I treasure him and honor him deeply. My father was the white man for the indigenous natives of Alaska. He built all of their hospitals, schools, art centers. And his last project before he passed away at 89 was as the owner's representative for museum, Alaskan artifacts. And so I'm seeing this lineage that he already created for me. And it has given me great power and a great reverence, and also a great ability to understand that we don't really know who everybody is, and we really don't know what the greater mission is. Mm-hmm. And it allows me to really release judgment and analysis of others. It's a beautiful thing that I did not see coming, that we would be working so closely together even after he transitioned.
Well, that's beautiful. I mean, I've been thinking a lot lately about, you know, the need to have a much bigger vision sometimes than we typically have as entrepreneurs. And what you just laid out is nothing I've ever heard before, firstly. And it's truly something not just about using food to make a positive impact, but you're talking about it in levels way beyond that. And what surprises me the most is that going back to what you mentioned about the intention with the packaging, with the products, you're right. You can feel it, that it's something different versus just a regular product that you pick up from a shelf. And I guess part of that question or that thought process is, was it intentional that you wanted to first go direct to consumer through e-commerce, through your own website as a starting point, because you get to control that experience to the extent you can through the delivery and the packaging, versus having it be versus going out and pitching this to retail buyers and trying to get this at, and maybe down the line you will be in Erewhon and Whole Foods and everywhere else, but was that intentional, or how much was that a function of you were fundraising and trying to prove the proof of concept? I would love to know that thinking, and I think especially the entrepreneurs listening would be very curious about that.
I mean, again, it goes back, first of all, we are in Erewhon and have been in Erewhon for about a year now, I think.
Oh, I've been away from LA. That's why I didn't know.
That's amazing. Yeah, because you didn't know. But anyway, it was intentional. And again, for the entrepreneurs listening to this, it's like, again, getting back to the authentic part of who you are is very important to how you craft your company. And so for me, and what I would share with everybody, it is my awareness that the greatest asset that we have today and going forward during these very tumultuous, chaotic times is going to be our network, is going to be our community. Community is the most important thing that we have right now. Dom and her are the masters of community that I have seen to date, the way that they have executed this. So it was very important to me to understand that through the subscription, I am creating a real community. You know, on our shipping labels, it says, "May all beings be free." All of our communications are seeped in this spiritual awareness and care for life and fostering of people in need, you know, as we can. And I think people really feel that. I've just released a wholesale collection. Mm. So we created a new flavor profile, which are fall down on the ground, just delicious beyond. We are going into wholesale. It will be different though than our black label. So the subscription will stay in the black boxes, and we have like three or four products. We have a two wheel, a four wheel, and then we have a sacred box, which has all the cheese flavors in it, which is an amazing gift box and just extraordinary box. But yeah, it is very important, and building that community is what is of the highest importance. So like in our strategy, a direct to consumer is 80% of our business. But we are, as we scale, we are going to be releasing, you know, sublines. You know, I'm going to be releasing another collection under another name. So we're going to be, you know, really rolling out, but we are maintaining that deep connection to our subscribers because they are the life force of Shreemu. And, you know, some of the reviews that I get are just, you know, one person wrote in and she really, says that Shreemu healed her intestinal gut in 3 months. And she actually noticed a change every time she ate it, what it was doing to her digestion. You know, I can't say that. That's someone else said that. The other thing is another person said, when I ate Shreemu, I felt like a better person. I really like that one. Then somebody wrote in and they were like, my husband accused me of hiding Shreemu from him, which was super cute. But, you know, we have hundreds of testimonials like that. And I can't even really pick a favorite flavor, but the subscription is very important because we're building that community. Mm-hmm. And we've now even started a luminary offering where we're taking sort of a beauty counter approach of actually having luminaries, so individuals in our community have a cheese tasting. Mm-hmm. And then they can, it's very easy to have a cheese tasting with Shreemu. You could have kombucha, or if you are into wine, it's delicious with wine. It's a full wine and cheese experience. There's no two ways about it. But you can then become the luminary and you can spread the word. And a lot of people that eat Shreemu and are eating plant rich, that's important to them in their life. And, everybody's going to be blessed. Everybody's going to be invited in. And so if we can, share those, you know, those marketing dollars with the luminaries, that's really important to me because I also share spiritual meditations and visualizations and perspectives, because we really know that each one of us was created with a very authentic, you know, unique purpose. There's only one of you, one of me, one of everyone in the entire multiverse. And I know nature, we can count on her. So if I can empower you to be all that you are, then you will bless everyone just by being who you are. So that's really, you know, if there's a mission of Shreemu, it really is upholding that. And also the fact that I am a mother of four humans this lifetime, but I also, in my divine design, I carry a frequency of mother. And many people study with me and they're in my online spiritual community and follow me for that support. I didn't make it up. I didn't choose it. It just is. So I'm feeding you something that is very highly charged with a lot of love. And I mean it. Like, I really mean it. I've dedicated the remainder of my years on this planet to being a part of this humanitarian mission for Domenher. It is the greatest thing that I could offer, the greatest thing that I could do. And there's many, you know, there'll be many others. And I even think we'll raise the money long before Shreemu becomes a unicorn because of the people that are coming into the awareness of what Domenher is. And I'm perfectly created for this mission. You know, it's a very unique sort of sliver. But what I would say is, you know, that's what we need. We need everybody listening to this podcast to really get in touch with who they are through meditation and self-inquiry and identifying what did you love as a child? What brings you joy? What is in alignment for you? And don't do it like anyone else. Just do it like you do it, because we need to the challenges we are facing. Recycling is not going to do it. And by the way, eating plant-based, even though I'm plant-based and, you know, for me, it's the best way to go all around. Mm-hmm. That's not going to solve everything. We need quantum. We need children coming in with powers and abilities that we never knew existed. We need to embrace the multidimensional nature of who we are at our divine design. And without blame, without judgment, we've been put into certain ways of living by design, almost beyond our control. So let's just forgive everything right now and take a big breath and relax. And can you feel how loved and celebrated you are simply for the fact that you exist and you're breathing right now? That's it.
That's the most timely and most profound message I think anyone has shared on this podcast. I think we need that again and again. I want to kind of close out on a slightly different note. We've been talking so much about mission, vision, and your intention for what this can be and the impact it can make in the future. But I recall the last time we were chatting, you mentioned something about, and I forget the precise context, so I'm paraphrasing. We were talking about goals and, you know, what you want to do. And I think you said something about how all you care about is the process. And the process was very important. And I remember that sticking with me. And I think when I ran into you in person in LA, I actually mentioned that to you, that I've been kind of keeping that at the back of my mind when I approach any new endeavor, is just to really enjoy the process. So I want to close out with what the process has been for you and how you approach the process of Shrimu going forward as you build this grand vision. Because as you said it yourself, it's a crucial part of this experience. And maybe that's built into the DNA of the company as well.
Yeah, beautiful. So, well, I mean, I think as all creatives, if you look into it, when I was building my sacred sanctuary, which is my beautiful modern home in the Malibu Hills, when I closed on the land, I asked myself this question, like, if you could just snap your fingers and the house is built, do you want that option? And my answer was no, I don't want that option. Because I think we really, really, it's in the moments of the process that the alchemy happens, that the juice and the nectar and the transformation, it's in all those moments. If you could just snap your finger and be at the moment where, okay, Shrimu is a unicorn, it would be very unfulfilling and not useful, because it's all the points that you touch along the way and all the time that you're faced with challenges. You know, it's like, I had some Mercury retrograde, information come in, meaning stopping, the flow moving forward, late at night, and I saw it and it's kind of like constricted news. And I was like, okay, I have a choice. I can either let that spin me out and disrupt my sleep, or I can go into my inner space, reconnect with my source, and understand that this is just part of the journey. It's just a step. It's a step and a step. There's going to be many experiences of joy and expansion, and there's going to be many experiences of challenges and constriction. And there is always a way to cross the river. The next rock is always there. But if you're too busy living on the other side of the bank, you're going to miss the magic of the water, the nourishment of the water, or the activation of the fish that comes by, or the smell and the spray, or whatever it does to your being. So I guess what I would say is, I think focusing on the destination comes out of the side of ourselves. And what I want to remind everybody is that you have everything you need within yourself to fulfill your organic, original, divine life print. It can be no other way. You came in with the instruction set. So get your external focus turned inside yourself. Remember who you are. You have everything you need. There is everything inside of me to build Shrimu, to guide her and steward her and shepherd her and care for her and nurture her and all the beings that connect her along the way into being this unicorn. And I know after meeting with the patriarchal establishment for a year and 3 months, I can tell you now I really know that I have everything within me to do this. And what is the, you know, what is the downside that I fail? What is failing? Like failing at what level? Like we are privileged to be alive in a body. Okay. I've done many things in my life. I'm 59 years old. I've done many things in my life. I'm trying to write a memoir. It's like 800 pages and I haven't even written about my mysticism yet, really. So, and I get to be in a body. I'm not going to waste this time. I'm going to go for it. Like with everything that I got and all of us, everyone listening to this, the time is now. Step into your life. Show up, take responsibility. No one's coming to save us. There's not a Messiah. There's not some angel flying down from the heavens. There's not somebody that knows better than you. Keep cultivating connection and love and meditate and take care of yourself and love your body and cultivate love and compassion in your life. And then lead from that and dream big. Yeah, dream big, really big. We need to really embody the money and we just need to change the direction of how that money is used. And then also, you know, develop new ways of working with each other. But we all came here for this time. If you're listening to this podcast or you're alive, we're all part of it. Mm-hmm. All are needed, all are loved, all are valued. It's not a competition because you're only competing against yourself. Just embody who you are, align with who you are, and don't look back. Run.
Thank you, Julie. I truly appreciate that. Thanks for sharing your time with me today. And I can't wait to continue to follow your journey and enjoy your amazing products as they come out. So thanks a lot.
Oh, Nils, thank you. You're a blessing. You bless me. I appreciate this very much.
You've been listening to Eat for the Planet with Nils Zacharias. If you enjoy this conversation and would like to show your support, all you have to do is subscribe to this show and rate and review it. To learn more about this podcast or my work, go to eftp.co. That's eftp.co. Thank you for listening.